Are you looking for a new math curriculum? CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animation, synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray, make learning math easy and effective. Favorably reviewed in Kathy Duffy's 102 Top Picks and the Old Schoolhouse Crew Review, the lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today to start your free trial. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. This is Yvette Hampton, your host, and I am so excited to be here with my guest today. Her name is September McCarthy, and you guys are going to be so encouraged by her. She actually is a podcaster herself. She is one of the co-hosts of the Mom to Mom podcast with Kate Battistelli and Jamie Erickson. And I know you guys are really familiar with Jamie for sure, because she's been on the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast a few times, and she was also part of the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. But September, welcome to the podcast. I am so glad that you are here with me today.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. I love this community.
Yes. Oh, me too. Me too. And I love that word community, because it's really what we are, and it's really what we need as homeschool moms. So today on the podcast, we're actually talking about a topic that I know so many moms ask about, and especially as we're in this time of so many moms trying to figure out what they're going to do for the next school year and thinking through homeschooling. We've got thousands of parents who are just brand new to homeschooling, coming into this whole world of what in the world do I do? And many of them have multiple kids who are multiple ages and multiple grades, of course. Even if you have twins and they're the same age, you still have two completely different kids. And so today we're going to talk about homeschooling multiple ages and multiple grades. And September, you might have a little bit of experience with this, because you have 10 children of your own.
Yes. Yep. 10 children.
10 kids. And how many grandkids?
We have 8 grandchildren. And so I'm basically in every season of motherhood right now, grandparenting, home motherhood.
That is amazing. And what are the ranges of your kids' ages?
So our oldest is 28, and we have a few of our older kids that are married. And then we have our youngest spanning, 10 children all the way down to the age 9. And then, our grandchildren. So, and we're still homeschooling 4 currently, grades 9th, 7th, I have to think here, 6th and 4th.
Okay, that's so awesome. I want to talk today about homeschooling with many kids, because, myself, I only have 2 kids, and I shouldn't say only. I mean, I'm blessed with 2 kids, and I feel with just the 2 of them, like my hands are full when it comes to trying to figure out how to schedule out their day, when it comes to trying to figure out how to, how do I teach one when I've got another one who's sitting waiting for me, and just how to balance it all. There are so many questions and so many unknowns, especially when you're getting into this for the very first time. But whether you're a seasoned homeschool mom or brand new to this, I think every mom always poses the question, how in the world do I juggle all of my kids? And so I would love for you, September, to just share with us some things that you have learned over your 20 plus years of homeschooling on how you've learned to kind of juggle all of your kids. Cause you said you've been homeschooling for
24 years.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
So you've learned a thing or two. So talk to us moms and give us some tools that we can use in knowing just how we can manage the chaos so that it doesn't feel like chaos.
Right. Well, I think, it's really good to begin with this idea about what our expectations are for us personally as like a homeschool mom, and just kind of maybe take our kids out of the equation for a minute. Because I think what happens is we have this ideal in our mind to begin homeschooling, and then we jump right in, and then our feelings end up dictating what our homeschooling looks like. And we become overwhelmed, and we think we can't do this, and we think we're not enough, and we think we're going to ruin our kids. And so I think sometimes we're wondering, how are we going to do this? Like, what is it that needs to change? And so I always like to begin with our expectations. And I think it would be really fun if we could do like a little report card for anyone listening today. Sure. And I like to do this with myself periodically. So I just want to ask like a few questions, and Yvette, you and I could do the report card too.
Okay. But
so the first question would be true or false. Homeschooling will look the same whether I'm teaching one student or 10. So whoever's listening,
I would say false.
Yeah, right. But it's possible. So whatever grade you give yourself, this is going to give you an idea of what expectations you have for yourself and your homeschooling when you begin. Okay. So like the second part of this report card we're going to take today is I am doing well with my multitasking, my responsibilities, and a large number of people. But when it comes to academics, I need help. So give yourself a score and grade on that.
Am I answering these true or false? Or am I grading myself like A, B, C?
Yeah, this could be just, you know, I'm doing well. I need help with the academics. It could be just, you know, words or sentences to grade yourself. So when you look back over this, you know, report card at the end of the day or at the end of the week or at the end of the school year, like, okay, this is where I'm really struggling. I think our expectations, we have to ask ourselves these real questions.
Sure.
Before we can evaluate how we're going to homeschool many children in many grades. Okay, so the third question is on our report card, I'm doing well with the core subjects like science, math, spelling, but when it comes to caring for my little children during the school hours, I need a lot of help. So is that true? Maybe you don't need any help. Maybe you need a lot of help. That'll help you realize, okay, I'm doing great at the school work, but I need help with the little ones. So I think sometimes we just have to break it all down and see where our strengths are. And I don't like to say weaknesses because it's just, these are areas we need to, you know, we can improve.
Sure.
Okay. So the next question is, I'm getting the academics thing, but I need more help in managing my home because I'm spending most of my day and hours teaching. You know, is that true? Are you worrying about your house while you're sitting there cleaning and there's kids running all over? And by the time you're done teaching, you're thinking, how am I supposed to be a mom and a wife and a homeschool mom? And how do you do this with so many people? How about this question? Is it cost prohibitive for me to homeschool so many grades and ages?
Hmm.
Okay. So that's a big question. Like, are you feeling, is that what's keeping you from, you know, feeling freedom in this? Okay. My expectations are balanced, but I'm just struggling to achieve that end result. Maybe you're gliding into each school day and you have good expectations, but you're not getting the results that you want with all these kids and all these grades. I don't feel equipped with the right resources to do this. You know, there might be a parent listening that doesn't feel equipped, and maybe that's why you're overwhelmed. And the next question is, I believe we can do this. So do you believe that you can do this? Like, I believe you can do it. And I know that that's our conversation here today. So I always like to begin with that. And then to encourage parents right now that are listening, that we have nothing to prove. Mm-hmm. Like, I think sometimes people are homeschooling big families or lots of grades and ages. I feel like they think that people are watching us. And
yes,
we have to prove something. But I like to say, we just have to improve. You know, this is an opportunity to improve what we're doing. So just, you know, think about what are the expectations I have for my homeschool, give myself a report card, identify my strengths, not my weaknesses, but the areas I can improve, and then go from there. And I think that's a good place to begin.
This episode of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast is brought to you by Abeka and their new 10-month payment plan for everybody. Whether you're a video homeschool family enrolled in Abeka Academy or you lead the lessons yourself, you can now get everything you need and get 10 months to pay. Learn all about it at abeka.com/payplan. That's abeka.com/payplan.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton. Have you left a review for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast yet? If you haven't, then pause the show right now and go do it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Have you done it yet? Great. Then back to the show.
Yeah, I like that you talk about that. We have nothing to prove, because that is one of the things that I feel like, you know, from the time our kids are teeny tiny, you know, we look at other moms and other kids their age and you're like, oh, my kid's 9 months old and she's not walking yet, but your kid is walking already at 9 months old. And we are constantly comparing and then feeling like we need to prove to other moms that our kid is where they're supposed to be. But also, oftentimes it comes to family members. You know, we've got grandma or grandpa, those naysayers in our lives who are saying, well, you shouldn't homeschool. You're not going to, you know, you're not organized enough. You're not smart enough. You won't be able to give them the education that they could get in a traditional school. So then we feel like we need to prove to those people that we have it all together. And what do you find? I mean, I'm thinking through these questions as you're asking them, and I'm asking those questions to myself, and I'm thinking some of them, you know, most of them, I feel completely unbalanced all the time. I feel like if I'm doing a good job of taking care of my home, you know, we've got dinner on the table, we've got laundry done, things are fairly in order in our home, then the academics are just out the window. But then if we're really focusing on the academics, then our home sometimes just is in total disarray. So how have you found it possible to balance all of those? And at the same time, when I ask that, I know that it's not possible to perfectly balance all of that all the time, because we can't. Right. It's not possible.
Right. Well, I like to ask myself, are my expectations realistic? So I think we put a lot on ourselves. You know, we're sitting at the school table, we're trying to teach all these different grades, but when we get up from the school table or the desks or wherever we are, we think that our house is going to look perfect. That's not realistic.
Right.
So I think asking ourselves that first question, is it realistic to have those expectations? And then to begin breaking our expectations into areas of growth. I like to think of homeschooling as a lifestyle of learning. Like it's a lifestyle. It's not just open a book, do ABC, one, two, three. So our homeschooling is encompassing all of the areas that are of growth, whether that's academics, character, music, interests, some of my children's interests, social responsibility. I give them assignments, household and family. So that takes care of the chores and all those things that aren't getting done when we're teaching them the academics. And I think if we really ask ourselves, what is my ultimate goal in homeschooling? And that would be to grow and foster independent learners and responsible, moral, God-loving adults. Yeah. And so, you know, if we're raising independent learners, then we kind of take a lot of what we're doing off of our plate. So those beginning years, we're teaching them to learn independently. We're working with them. And the more you do that, the less you're doing, and you're giving less of yourself to hear and less of yourself to hear. So that is a good place to begin. But when we think about schoolwork or getting along or doing the dishes, that's all a lifestyle of learning. And that things are getting done. Things are getting done, whether you're sitting at the school desk teaching and have a baby on your lap and someone's reading, something's always getting done. So that's a great place to begin. Just kind of have different vision and different eyes for what's happening in your home. I like to think of my life as a homeschooling mom for the last 24 years is like a chess game. Like I'm moving pieces around all the time in my head while I'm sitting or while I'm at the sink or while I'm teaching piano, whatever it is, there's always moving pieces. And that doesn't require for me to be the moving piece. Everyone falls into this routine of, you know, working simultaneously and independently.
So let's go back to the working independently. You talk about growing and fostering independence in our kids. Talk about this, about that practically. How can we do that? Because I feel like I have a hard time doing that with my girls. You know, there are some things that they can do independently, but then there are a lot of things that they're like, no, I want you to sit here with me. I want you to do this with me, which I mean, quite honestly, I don't mind doing that. And I actually enjoy doing that. But I have two kids. And so it's not quite as hard for me, but I know those who have more than two, that can become very difficult because you're only one person. And so how do you can't spread yourself out, you know, through five kids or 10 kids like what you have. So how do you, with your kids, how did you teach them to grow independently and to learn how to learn independently without you having to sit right next to them all the time?
Well, I feel like there might not be a lot of people listening that are scheduling fans. So I don't like to weigh too heavily on the scheduling because, you know, there's a lot of different approaches to homeschooling, but I feel like scheduling has a place. And so this helps create and foster some independence because if they are able to follow a schedule on their own, just like we would expect them to when they leave our home, then that is the first step for our children to know what are the expectations that we have for them. So if they have a schedule, but for me as a mom, some of the ways I've fostered independence are to rotate subjects and rotate kids. And so like I will do a subject with one child and there may be five other kids doing, you know, different subjects independently, whether it's math at the computer or an art project at the art table or reading for 15 minutes or writing out a spelling list. Those are the things they don't need me to sit there and do.
Right.
Now I have some kids that like to sit next to me and do those things, but they know that this is my attention and my time with another child. So it's like those chess pieces. There's always something that they can do independently. And then I rotate that child in and rotate a child out. And so that's my first tip for anyone listening is to rotate kids, rotate subjects, rotate days. So there's going to be days in our homeschool where you will do a lot of subjects with them together. And then there will be days that they're going to do something alone. And they may not like it at first, and they may not learn as much if you're sitting there listening to them read every single word. But it's that weaning off of you that they can do this. You check their work. You say, well, you didn't do this right. I want you to redo it a little bit. So I rotate days when I work with them and certain subjects, and I rotate days when I don't. We do a lot of group studies. So we'll do things at the table together, like science or history or art and composers, fun stuff like that, hands-on experiments. And then I'll kind of encourage them to go off into their own space and to kind of work off of that. And usually the kids like that independence. They realize, okay, now I have this free time, and it kind of, you know, creates this lifelong independent learner. And I love watching that. I always remind my children that I am their mom and I'm their teacher, but I'm not their only teacher. Like they are their own teacher. Mm-hmm. I want my kids to always be thinking, what can I learn?
Sure.
And I always like to reward them when they come back to me and say, hey mom, guess what I learned today in my science? I was reading this chapter on leaves and I learned that the stamen, and they're telling me all this, and I just totally engage with them, you know, and listen. I'm like, well, did you write it out? And did you draw a picture? And they can see the rewards of learning independently.
Yes. Yeah. There is reward in that. And it's so much fun with our kids to see that light bulb go on when they have just caught on to something, you know, whether it's math or science or, you know, even history, you know, sometimes we'll come across something, you know, and they're like, oh yeah, I remember reading that in my history book, or, and it's so much fun because it really does give them a sense of accomplishment to be able to say, yeah, I got that. I learned that. I think sometimes we feel like we're not learning, or like our kids aren't learning because it's such a slow process. Yes. And so it's hard to identify those benchmarks all the time. But they really are. Every day they're picking up something. Every day they're learning something. And so I love that. So, I mean, I imagine that with having as many kids as you do, you have to have a schedule in place. So let me ask you this question. And this is not a homeschool academic question. This is just a life question.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We have yet to figure this out in our home. It takes us forever to get up and going in the morning and then to get our kids in bed at night. Do you find that to be true with yours? Is it just me? Like I can't figure out, like, what are we doing wrong? Why does it take us 2 hours from the time we get up in the morning to the time we're ready to actually do anything, you know, any kind of academic work? And then the bedtime. There's a reason why there's comedians who always talk about bedtime and song, you know, VeggieTales songs about it because, yeah. Oh, the excuses.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, I've been a mom for 28 years. Uh-huh. And so I like to say now, after all these years, we're on our third batch of kids. We joke about that because we're raising our four youngest still. I feel like our home is now a well-oiled machine. Now, if I were to rewind this, you know, life of mine, it would not look so seamless and so easy. But back in the day when we would get up, I had expectations of our family, and I knew that it was my job to set the tone for the day. And so that did not mean that I would be up at 5 a.m. doing my devotions, doing my workout. That is just not who I am.
Right.
I do function better later.
Yep.
And my kids know that. So they could easily take advantage of my morning inability to wake up. But so they knew whether they saw my presence or not, these are the things by such and such a time. So I feel like each family needs to pick a time mm-hmm. that you're going to begin and hold fast to that.
Yes.
And pick a realistic time. You know, if it has to be 10, then it's 10. If it yeah. has to be 8, then it's 8. But I would pick a time. And I would say XYZ needs to be done before I meet you in the living room. We're going to do some morning time together. Right. And that time, that morning time, gave them a chance to get some chores done, mm-hmm. wake up while they're doing that, have their bed made, all those basic responsibility
sure.
things.
Yeah.
And then that morning time together from our morning basket, mm-hmm. I use that to allow them to wake up a little bit more. And myself, I would never recommend, now that I've been homeschooling all these years and a mom for 28 years, to just jump right into the books.
Yes.
I feel that morning time, whether you call it a morning basket, mm-hmm. devotions, whatever it is you find to do, whether it's reading them a book, or that is so vital to setting the tone for your day.
Yep.
So, you know, for me, I like to have it all done by 8:30 or 9, and then we just go right into school. But it gives them a time to kind of slowly wake up. And it's not this struggle as soon as you open the book and you're like, right. Why can't you wake up? Why aren't you being present? So, you know, I want my kids to know that I have compassion for them, you know, mm-hmm. and that I want this to be something enjoyable.
Yeah.
But I also want them to know that I'm raising them to be responsible adults. Yeah. So this morning time for them gives them a little accountability mm-hmm. To get their things done.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Yeah. It's so important. Now, when you say morning basket, morning time, are you a Pam Barnhill fan?
I love Pam. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. But I've been doing morning basket, morning time for 28 years.
I was going to say long before she came out with her morning basket, morning time. Let me ask you, because you've got a lot of resources on your website. Do you have resources on your website that can help people figure out how to do this morning time? Because I know there's some new moms listening to us and they're like, what in the world are you talking about? What is this morning basket? What is this morning time?
Yeah.
So can you just give, I know you talked about it a little bit. You talked about reading and stuff, but talk just briefly about what your morning time looks like. And then do you have resources that can help people figure out how to do that?
Yeah. So I want to kind of tie this together to any mom or any parent listening that does have multiple children, because morning time does not look like everybody marches in and they're all buttoned up and hair's combed, you know, and the baby's like sitting contentedly quietly. You know, it could mean kids hanging off the couch, and it could mean someone coming in late with their cereal bowl. You know, mm-hmm. it could be a multi-phase. Every day is going to look different. So I just want to be very realistic in expectations. Like, what, you know, September McCarthy can do this morning time. Why can't I? Well, that's what my morning time looks like. Sometimes we have conflicts. Sometimes a child shows up late, but it's always been different in different seasons. Right now, it's kind of quiet and peaceful with the ages my kids are, but I like to call it morning time because I feel like it's our job as moms and as homeschool mom teachers to set the tone for our homeschool day. And that's what my primary purpose is in a morning time, to set the tone for my family, to set the tone for the day, and to give them some biblical foundation before we start. So in my mind as a mom, I may think, okay, yesterday we struggled with selfishness in school, like so-and-so would not share her pencils. Like this really happened this week. Uh-huh. And so I think in my mind as a mom today, we're going to focus on selfishness. So I've got this mm-hmm. in here. I'm not telling them today we're going to focus on, right. And I'm going to bring in a Bible story and a verse. We're going to do some music. So I have this basket and it's full of things I've used for 28 years. My son's 28. And I just pull from it. And whatever that day I feel like would be good to set the tone, good to bring in good character, mm-hmm. and what biblical values I want my kids to have. And then I will read to them aloud. We'll go over some character qualities, what they mean, how they are lived out in our homeschool and everyday life. And those things, we have those in our shop at September and Co-Shop on Etsy.
Okay.
So we have character quality cards for, you know, children up to like ages 14, 15. And then we have like creature cards that have character qualities. So we have this morning time basket bundle over there. But I have a lot of other resources in there. I have some favorites. And on my Instagram, I talk about the morning time. I have a little highlight because it's one of those things I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
Because the days that I skip that, especially with a lot of different ages and children, it could be chaos because I take that so seriously. I know how it is for me. Like, I like to think of it as a child's cup of coffee.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know how we as adults, we like, gotta have that cup of coffee or whatever it is, the walk or that's what it is for our kids. They need that. And that's part of our jobs as moms and homeschoolers, like to set the tone. And when we skip over that, I feel like we have felt the consequences of that, especially with a lot of different ages, because you're trying to bring this one culture, this one tone with a lot of different people. So it's work, but it's enjoyable because you're all there together.
Right. Oh, I love that so much. I love that. September, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been such a blessing to have you talking just about what the Lord has taught you through your many years of homeschooling. We are out of time for this episode, but we will be back on Wednesday with part two. So thank you for joining me. Can you stay on for the second part?
I can, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we will be back on Wednesday and continue on our conversation.